like to say good morning to everybody. I want to welcome those who are not members of the Church of Christ to our worship service online. And God has provided us through the phone to be able to come together and assemble under these uncertain conditions and unusual situations that we're in today with the COVID situation. And so we want to welcome you to our call this morning. And I'm so thankful that God has given us a way to continue to serve Him and yet be safe in our doing so. We in the Church of the Christ believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. Therefore, we are believers of this book, that it's truth, and that God gave it to us. It's His word. God gave the word, and great was the company of those who published it. And because we believe in it, we believe that Jesus the Christ died on the cross in Jerusalem, never because we saw it with our eyes. But our faith in Him comes by hearing, and hearing by this book called the Word of God. And we believe He suffered for 6 hours on the cross and shed His blood. That will wash man's sin away, according to Revelation 1 and verse 5, in baptism. For Jesus commanded, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Then, after one is baptized, then the Lord will add them to the only church in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. Now, we believe everything in this book. And if you believe it, then you need to believe that the saved are in that one church. Acts 2 and verses number 47 says, praise God and favor all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the same thing in the Church of Christ. That's the only church in the Bible. The only one we ever talk about. And I'll ever talk about it as I speak from the Word of God. Only one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, which is the church. Ephesians chapter 4, 4 through 6. And we then must believe it and then live accordingly. If you're a member of the Church of Christ, you have left the Lord. The Bible teaches us to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You can be lost again if you have not been saved, if you have not been living right. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. We have to pray one for another. We confess our sins, He's just to forgive us. That's to the Christians. You don't say you don't confess your sins to be saved. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Upon that confession, you must be baptized in the water as commanded by our Lord. So that's how you be saved. So this morning, as we continue the study of the book of Acts, I want you all to buckle up your seatbelts, because I just believe, I've been studying this text, and I'm just curious how many people in the Lord's church were Christians that are just like Ananias and Sapphira. This is going to be a lesson of investigation of your own heart. And so I want you to think about this, because you don't want to be lost, because you're lying to God. Let's look at this carefully. Take notes now. Listen carefully. The Bible says, and let's go to Acts chapter 5 and verse number 1, the sermon this morning, Ananias with, in the conjunction there, with his wife, Sapphira. And it was a team. Some grave results ended in them two making the decision together. This is a continuation of when Acts chapter 4 last week we looked and we talked about those Christians came together upon the advice of the apostles to help the poor and selling their possessions. Their possession. Let's go back to Acts 4 and verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said of any of them that aught of the things which he possessed. It's a personal possession that this dude we're going to be dealing with this morning was his own. But they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon all of them. I talked about all that last week, but I'm putting emphasis this morning on what was going on at the time before Ananias and Sapphira came on the scene. Verse 34, Acts 4, neither were there any among them that lacked, talking about Christians, for as many were possessors of lands, houses, sold them. Note that. They sold lands and houses and bought the prizes of things. There was other things they sold that were sold. So you got a house, you got land, and you got things you sold, you fall in this category. We fall in this category. laid down them down at the apostles' feet. So they brought it voluntarily, brought it to the apostles. And distribution was made unto every man according to his need. So the apostles, they gave it to the apostles to do what they needed to do to help the people who needed it. And Joseph, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, he sold it. Now this is Barnabas sells his land and bought the money. The money came from the sale of the land. And then he laid it at the apostles' feet. Now I want you to pay attention. The apostles never told them, you got to give 10%, 20%, 50%, 100%. They never gave them no percentage, because this is not about percentage, such as tithing would be under the old law. So we're under the New Testament now. And so you need to pay attention, because this was a decision. And so in contrast to those who cheerfully gave, made a decision to give this money from the sale of their land and house and other things, this husband and wife were in this sin together. The husband and the wife both teamed up to make a sinful move. They had sinful motives to fool God. Now look at this. Let's go back to Acts. Now that's what happened leading up to this, these two people, this husband and his wife. But a certain man, the Bible identified, God is telling us there's one guy and his wife sold a singular possession. They had one thing that they sold. Now, they probably had a lot of other things they could have sold, but they sold one. And these two have a problem that I believe could be a problem for many Christians. And verse 2, what did Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, do? They kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain piece, part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. So they sold. He said, but please don't say they sold any. So they'll just hold on, hold you. Now, they got money for price. And then they agreed. She knew, and he knew, that we're going to keep back a part of this. And ain't nobody going to know it. And bought a certain point, and pretending as if they were doing just like the other Christians, and laid it at the apostles. They were pretending. Now, here's my first point. Must be noted, those of you who are married, that when one agrees, the other one is guilty. And you can be misled by a husband or a wife. Many Christians are going to lose their souls as a result of not one of the spouses speaking up. If you guys have sold some property, land, home, whatever the case may be, and you both agree not to give to the Lord, you both are in trouble. This decision seems to be led by the husband, which I would warn husbands, Ananias was a husband, on this call, that you can cause your wife to be lost with you when you don't lead that home spiritually. And the wife is privy. She, if she's privy, and she know that what you all are up to, and you're working together, and one of you initiated, say, we're going to sell, but we ain't going to give it all. Or we're going to sell, we're just going to put it in the bank. Ain't nobody at the church know we sold no house. You're right. But there is one you got to worry about. The one who knows. one of them had to initiate this discussion, and the other one had to agree with it. And it could be the wife initiating it, and it could be the husband, because you know there are some weak men, and they're influential wives. But we understand the relationship between the husband and wife. Ephesians 5:23. But the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So the husband should be the spiritual protector of that family. And you should not lead your wife into a sinful situation when you are the man of God who should be teaching her what's right. And the woman should be in submission to her husband and in the way that he is her protector. Husband, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And the wife is submit to that with the understanding that I will not go along with you when you are wrong. That's where you draw the line, my sister. If that brother don't want to give right to the Lord, then you have to speak up. And you have to let him know that what he is doing is wrong, and you're not going to be in agreement with him. That's what God allows you to do. You do not submit to something that's against the will of God. Yeah, that's what the Ephesians writer was. Paul was talking about in Ephesians chapter 5. And this is a relationship issue. And he was telling them, wives, submit yourself to your husband, verse 22, as unto the Lord. You get that husband, you love your wife, even if Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church? He gave himself. He didn't put the church in risk. You, brother, you put your wife in risk by not doing what God, you know you're supposed to do, and you are in risk, sister, for going along with it. I told y'all to buckle up. It's right here in the text. As my wife used to say, it's in the text. It's right here. And she always said, everything in the text, all this, but this is in there. You ain't got to worry about this one. They both will pay a severe penalty for their joint decision. I got some questions. Anybody on this call being led in a destructive way by your spouse? Anybody in this call going along with what you know is wrong in the eyesight of God? Is there a husband or wife that's being influenced religiously, and your soul is at stake because you're listening to a man who are not trying to follow God's will, or you're listening to a woman who's not trying to obey God? Anybody on this call being guided in the wrong direction by your spouse? Anybody going along with something wrong in your house that you and your spouse agree to? Is there any wife, husband, I go this far, boyfriend, girlfriend, keeping you from being baptized and obeying the truth when you know that's what God told you to do? You shacking, going along with what you know is wrong, and y'all agree to lay in the same bed together as if God don't see it? Marriage is honorable. That's what happened this weekend. Brother Ron Johnson and Doris Shaw. Why did they marry? Because marriage is honorable in the sight of God. Not living together unmarried. And you got Christians who live together unmarried, and then you got a brother who know that's wrong. He'll bring his sister to the church, and telling her there's only one church. She's not going to listen to you about no one church when she and you both heard no, but y'all laying up in the bed fornicating and acting as if God don't know what you're doing. You're in agreement. So, sister, you just as guilty as he is for laying in the bed with him. Yep, told you. Told you to buckle your seatbelt up. We got some shackles in the Church of Christ, and they're in the Lord's church. We know they are. Some of you probably listen, like their land by now. Just look over there and say, why are we agreeing to do this? Why are you agreeing to do this? Well, I guarantee you, if I was at the building, it wouldn't be no amen. People would be quiet right about now. I hear Brother Hammond talking about, boy. Any members of the church? I'm just asking questions. You all forsake the assembly and stay at home together? One forsake and other agree with it? Oh, you don't have to go today then. You go along with that? Any member that left the Lord because of your spouse, because of your boyfriend, or girlfriend, you done left God? Any husband, wife, team not giving right? Both of you know what the check account got. You know what's in it. Y'all know that little old check you write. You know you're not giving right. In your heart of hearts, you know you're not giving right. You write one check and you both agree that's enough. You are in trouble. If I were you, I would say, I'm not writing the same check. I'm going to write one on my own because you don't want to give right. I'm not going to be a partaker of your evil deed. Any member? I'm talking members of the Lord. Any Christian on this call being misled by somebody that's supposed to love you and not telling you that we are wrong for what we are doing? I want everybody on this call to think about who in your family is influencing you to do what's wrong. It amazes me how I see some Christians just go along. You know it's wrong. You don't even say nothing to your family, your friend, family, sister, brother. You know, I would say, if I think I'm wrong, I want my sister, brother, I'm talking about family, my wife, anyone that loves me to tell me that's not right. It's not right what you're doing. You should do that. You shouldn't do that. We don't go along with evil. We don't partake of evil deeds. We don't go along with stuff just because. Let's go back to Acts 5, please. Now, I just got started. I might preach an hour and a half. But this is something, you know, everybody needs to know. I'm not going to do that. But I just want y'all to be very stunned when I finish. Stunned. I'd rather for you to be stunned right now than to find out the penalty for what you're involved in, the conspiracy to lie to God. Look at what happened in Acts 5, verse 3. Let's look at who really in control of life. But Peter said, Ananias, why? It's like Peter said, I got a question. Why have Satan filled thine heart, talking about his mind? Why have Satan filled your heart to lie? To know who you lie to? The Holy Ghost. And kept that part of the price of the land? That's how I know what they sold. Now he specifically said, you don't think God know you sold that land and you didn't give a dime to the Lord? Or you bought a little bit in and thinking that was going to satisfy God when he know that what the profit you made on your land fell? You kept some of that back as if God didn't know? Peter was being led by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was revealing him because the apostles were guided by the Holy Spirit at the time. And the Holy Spirit led him to know exactly what happened with Ananias. His heart was filled by Satan, filled his heart, his mind to lie to God. Now that we know what he lied about, he lied about it, about how much land he had sold, how much they made of it. Now, brothers and sisters, this is not talking about devil possession. It's not like flip wood, the devil made me do it. No, you can be filled, your mind can be filled with evil. And here's one you got to really be careful about, called the love of money. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, it's in your book. Read it here carefully because this is where the problem comes. The problem is you love your money more than you do God. And when you love your money more than you do God, you will do things like this. Listen to the Bible. Listen to it now. I'm going to this Lord. I'm not going to be long, but you need to get stunned. Listen to the Bible. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. I'm going to read it slow. I'm going to point out something right here in this word. For the love of money is the root, not of some evil, all evil. It's the money that's making you lie to God. It's the money that the reason you will not give a portion of what you sold back to God. And you know what that money is doing? It's the root of all it says. You love me more you do God. And that's what the devil wants, because the devil wants you to lie to yourself. You wonder why the devil wants you to lie to yourself? Because you can't spell evil. You can't spell the devil without spelling evil. D-E-V-I-L. And the love of money is the root of all devil, evil. Which why some covenant out, they have left the faith, and they hurt themselves. They pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What he's saying, well, this is going to be dangerous. Here's the thing. When Satan influenced us to lie, in John 8:44, Jesus told him what happened. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he's speaking a lie, he's speaking of his own, and that's the same thing people do. That you live it, you keeping that money as if you own it. And the devil got you lying. Anytime we choose to sin or choose to lie, Satan is influencing us. He's influencing our hearts, our minds. Sin, my brothers and sisters and listening audience, is a choice. God give us the free will to say yes or no. Don't let evil influence your mind. Now, this is not, as I said earlier, devil possession. It's the love of the money that got you in this situation. Now watch this. Would you go back to it now? Let's go a little further with this here. They secretly done this. They secretly, his wife knew the secret they had to keep. And the secret they had to keep is that we made more than we gave the apostles. And so they were professing as if they were doing what was right. And they were doing it for God. He sold the land, Acts 8:37. And they took it to the apostles as if they were doing just what the other Christians were doing. And so Peter asked, why are you doing this? Why you let that happen? And Peter knew what the problem was, that Ananias was yielding to temptation. And his wife was influenced to go along with the wrong. Our hearts can be full of things with bad intent. I thank God for Bob Adams, who was my new convert teacher, who taught me about giving. And I'll just say this personal. And that's something I've tried to do right from the beginning of my Christianity, living as a Christian. Not hold back and give to God. And don't pretend. I'll talk a little bit more about that here in a minute. Now, what's going on here? The devil's involved. When the devil is involved, you will go against God. Peter says, while it remained, was not that own? After it was sold, was it not in your own power? Did that land belong to you, Ananias? Were you able to get the profit from it? Did you have power to make a decision what to do with it, right? The right decision? Then he asked him another question. Why did I conceive this thing in their heart? He said, well, why did you come up with this? And then Peter came out and hit him in the face with a punch. Let me remind you what you did. You didn't lie to us. You brought it up and put it at our feet. But you know who you lied to, Ananias? God. Now, notice earlier he said you lied to the Holy Spirit. So when you lie to God, the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one. When you can lie to the Holy Spirit, because he's God. And the Holy Spirit is what you, when you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit is putting information in the mind. He's telling you what's right. When you read the Bible, you know what's right. You know what's stealing is. Actually, they're stealing. And they lied to God. And the husband and wife are both involved in the lie. And he says, you come up with this stuff in your own mind. You conceived it in your own heart. You didn't lie to us. We know it. It wasn't about us. He took himself out the picture. And he said, you're dealing with God. This was a decision. The possession was owned by Ananias. No one made himself. They didn't tell none of those Christians they had to do this. It wasn't mandated by the apostles. They didn't make them do it. Every Christian volunteered. And there was a decision made by that family, that man and wife, to sell the possession, but to fake as if they were going to get it right. The money after he sold the possession was still his money. One thing we got to remember, God don't need money for money. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. You think if he owned the cattle, don't you think he owned the hill too? You think he need a dime for money? This is not about money that God needs. What God wants to know is, where's your heart at? See, God didn't tempt him to do this. The Bible says in James 1 and verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. God couldn't have nothing to do with this. Neither tempted he in his name. God didn't have nothing to do with Ananias' decision. But we know he did. But every man, when he's tempted, watch what James writes, verse 14. When he is drawn away of his own, they lusted after that profit from the land sale. That was their own lust. Three things that get us: lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. When you lust after having more stuff in this world, you put your money toward everything other than God. Don't understand, but God is a bigger giver than you. You understand if you give right, how God could bless you. Many of you are missing blessings that you don't even know about because you call yourself being sincere and really fake. When lust has conceived, when you want what you want, then bring it forth sin. That's what happened to the other guy. And when it is finished, watch what it brings. Death. I'm talking about spiritual death. In this case, Ananias wanted to look like others were giving cheerfully. There's some who bought all the possessions up there, and the Bible records that the apostles took that and they helped these people who were in need. He said nothing about these other people gave. What pretense they gave from their heart. They were happy to give back to the Lord. So he could see, and Ananias could see in his mind, we need this more than the poor people. So maybe somebody on the call this morning, every week, you lust to keep back part of what you should be giving to the Lord. So I said, Brother, I give 10% or more, but some say, I give this. Notice this. Not one place did he say how much. We're not on Old Testament. We don't give 10%. We're on a better covenant. God gave his all, his only child. What percentage is going to match that? What percentage of your money can match Jesus died on the cross? If God got to tell you to give a percentage, then you don't understand giving. Jesus says, more blessed to give than to receive. The blessing comes to those who give. And maybe that's what you're looking for. Oh, how much is enough, Brother Brooks, so I don't be in trouble with God? Let me just say this. If you have to give grudgingly, or this lesson really disturbing you because now you got to go back and think about it. I put the money. I know I ain't put no money toward that. I hate to do that for me. God, Brother Brooks said, we lying to God. You know what? Keep your money. Because the Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Verse 7, every man according as he purposed your decision in your mind, so let him give. You give based on the decision of your mind. But God said like this, if not grudging, so if you grudgingly want to give me, keep it. If you believe it's necessary, I got to give so I can have my soul saved, keep it. Keep it. You want to know why? Because you are not a cheerful giver. For God loveth a cheerful giver. That's in your Bible, my brother and sister. Read it. So maybe somebody on this call, you're very guilty of this sin here. And you've been for years. Because you know you don't give right to the Lord. And we don't like to do lessons on, let me just say, some people don't want to hear lessons on giving. They don't want to hear it because they're guilty. Guilty. But when you make that such a decision, when it's conceived, you are in sin. What is the question? Why do you let Satan fill your heart? Why are you lying to God? Peter told him, why are you lying? You lie to us, you lie to God. Like you don't do right. When you give right, brothers and sisters, God knows. When you motive it right, God knows. So, brother, what are some examples of possessions? Homes. Somebody sold a home lately? Did you get your profit out of it? Did you give anything to the Lord? Have you sold a car lately? Gained in it? Had a profit gain? You prospered? Have you sold land lately and prospered from it? Did you get an inheritance from someone dying and prospered? Did you get some insurance benefits and prospered? Have you had a retirement? Have you had a severance check? You have a retirement fund that you get some money from, but now you don't give nothing from it? What about some investments? Have you invested in stocks and made profit? You paid Caesar. You paid Caesar his. You had to pay capital gains. But you didn't give nothing to the law. And you wouldn't give to Caesar if you didn't want to get in trouble with the IRS. That's the only reason you gave to him. You didn't give nothing to the law from that. And you know you didn't. You just give them your little weekly check. But when you got the big stuff, the lump sums, you didn't give nothing. What about your bonuses that you got? What about your servant package? What about those of you who work on commissions? You make a deal, or you cut a deal, or you close a deal, and the commission check comes your way. But you just give them your regular check. What are you doing? Making a decision from your heart not to give. Back to the Lord. Now, when you get the concept right, then you won't have no problem with it. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we go to verse 8. Paul asked him, he told him, so God loves the cheerful giver. And then he tells him that God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that you have always have all sufficiency in all things. May abound to every good work. I said, God said, I cannot give you. When you give right. We ain't talking about money. I'm talking about waking up in the morning time. He give you breath. He give you water. He give you clothes. He gave you a job. He gave you help. What do you think God gave? What is he giving to you? And who you are, sparingly giving back. As if it belongs to you. As if life belongs to you. As if you turn your own breath on. As if you wake yourself up in the morning. Do you know that God is able to make all grace abound to you? Brother and sister, this is not about giving money. It's about the mind of the individual who do not appreciate God blessing him or her in all these different ways. When a Christian accepts and understands how good God is to you, Every day, all day. Every day, all day. He blesses your life. He blesses your children. Your children are under his watch and you can't see them. Don't you think that's grace? He giving to you, taking care of you, watching over your family. That's grace. That's goodness. That's mercy. That's who God is. What about giving up your time? You ever thought about that? How many of you don't give your time? You don't give up yourself to the Lord. I mean, you spend all your time working, going to jobs, going to school, making sure you get your education, making sure you get a promotion on the job, and all those things. But you don't give none of your time to the Lord. Don't you think time is something you can give to the Lord? But the Corinthians, Paul said, Paul was talking about the Corinthian church. They gave of themselves first. They first gave of themselves. So here's my point now. If you're not giving back to the Lord, I'm talking about financial gain, then you cannot be giving your life to him. Because you're not committed. You're not committed. You have not given your life to the Lord wholly. You just fake it. Now, you got to think about it. Is your distribution of your life liberal? Are you freely giving to God? Maybe you only come half, you join the call half times. One Sunday you get on, another Sunday you don't. If we was at the building one Sunday, you come, you miss three Sundays, you'll come back one Sunday. That's giving, but not much. You only partake in activities that you like and the rest of the activities you want them to do it at the church. That's giving, but not much. It's giving, but not much. Or you may come to some Bible class and you get on some Wednesdays, some Wednesdays you don't. That's giving, but not much. You only attend this the gospel meeting you get on every once in a while. They've got a gospel meeting on every night. Well, I join where I can. But you know, I got a lot going on. I'm so busy. You know, I do this, that. You hear that from everybody. I'm so busy. You're so busy. You can't take 30 minutes to hear the truth of the gospel preached to lost people. You that busy? Oh, really? It's amazing when people say, I'm so busy. I got all this going on. You know, I would be, but I'm so tired at 9 o'clock. You are? Why are you so tired? You're so tired because everything in this life is more important than you and God and your relationship with him. If your relationship with God was important, you would get some rest. You would take some time. You would wind down and you would get on that gospel meeting called to support the preaching of gospel. And here's something that's going to help you as well. But you don't give much to the Lord. But I said, that's your MO, isn't it? You would do more for the church if you could, if you wanted to, but you don't want to. You can do whatever you wanted to do. You do it every day of your life. You do everything you want to do every day. All day. You go and come. You make you sing. Nobody make you get up. Nobody make you put your clothes on. You do all these things every day. You go where you want to go. You go to and fro. You make your list of things you're going to do today, and you leave God out. You leave him out. When you get your check, you leave God out. You leave the last thing on the list you give back to. You don't give to him first. In any Christian budget, the first thing in the budget should be, what are we going to give back to the Lord? That's the first item on the budget. That's for light. And one lady told my wife, she often laughed about it. She said, the girl was very, very excited. She ever said, she was so happy to come. She told me, she said, girl, I got all my stuff paid, and I gave the Lord the rest. I said, that's not good. She had a way of just saying things. She said, well, that's not good. She said, gave the God the best. and she really thought she had done something. But last, the rest was $5. And she told her how much. And you know the more woman likes, though. Why Satan feel people hurt? Why are people struggling spiritually? Because they lying to God. And they love their money more than they do their master. When you were baptized, we were baptized, we made him Lord and Master of our lives. That's what we did. If he's Lord and Master, then he's first. And you made that confession. You believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. You were telling him you were going to put him first. But you lied. Because you're not. Now, look at the consequences of this lie. This lie. And verse 5, Ananias, hearing these words, fell down. I mean, what words? You just lied to God. You sold land and brought it here and lied to God. And gave up the ghost. I mean, he died right there on the spot. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Look at this. This lie brought physical death to Ananias on the spot. Now, here's what God was doing. He was letting everybody watch and know what the consequence of lying to me can be. Now, you said, Brother Brooks, now, why am I going to fall dead this morning? Well, you're already dead spiritually. See, when you lie, it's spiritual death. So for us, it won't be a physical die falling out on the floor and somebody carrying you to the grave. That's not going to happen. It's not going to be a result of you lying to God. It's going to be a result of God calling your day and time. But the problem going to be is that you're separated immediately upon, and any of you who made these kind of decisions, you're already separated from God. Isaiah 59:1-2, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot say, neither ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and will not hear. He will not hear. See, it's separate. Death is a separation. Ecclesiastes 12:7. When you die, your spirit separates from your body. That's why they call a man in a coffin dead, because there's no life in that body anymore. So when you sin separates you from God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. Listen to this. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walk according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Look at who is filling the hearts of those who are dead spiritually on this call this morning. Dead spiritually. It's the prince of the power of air, the spirit. The Satan is getting the attention of you, and you are obeying your father, the devil. Because he works in children of disobedience to get you to lie to God and to lie to yourself so that you're going to die spiritually. And he knows this, that there is one physical death, but there is at the same time, if we die physically and we die in sin, we had two deaths, physical and spiritual. There is a second death. It means you will be eternally dead, separated from God. Why? Because you were a child of disobedience. Why would you let Satan fill your heart to get off this call that today did? When all you got to do, now if you haven't done this public, nobody know about it, you need to just get in your heart today and ask God to forgive you and start doing right. Don't give it right. It ain't too late. That's the grace of God. He gave you a chance to hear this message. Maybe this is the one sin in your life that is the sin unto death. It's the one you never repented of. You've never been a good giver. You've never given right. You've never done it. It's your sin unto death. Because you love your money more than you do your God. That's what's going to cause you to be lost. Now, Jesus said in John 8, 21, I go my way and you shall seek me, you shall die in your sin. Where I am, you can't come. Where I go, you cannot come. He's saying, you can never get to heaven like that. You can never get to heaven dying in your sin. So what happened? In Acts 5, the young man arose, bound them up, carried him out, and buried him. So he's a dead man now. So everybody understand, life is like a vapor. It's just here today, it could be gone tomorrow. Now, look at his wife. Here she comes on the scene, verse number 7. It was about to space 3 hours later. Now, she don't know what's going to happen the other night. She had no clue about what went on. And so after Ananias is dead and taken out, his wife walks into the scene. And when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, she don't have a clue that this sin she participated in led to the death of her husband. And maybe there's somebody on this call this morning. You're going to pay a severe penalty for a sin decision, and people around you ain't going to know that. That's why you're such a bad shape, even in your home. So this morning, you sit here after hearing this sermon, you're troubled by it. You're spiritually depressed, possibly, because you know you've been in this sin for so long, you don't even want to. And right now, it's hard for you to increase your giving right now, because this is going to be your sin unto death. That's what it's going to be. Which sin am I going to die in? This one? This one? This one. It's the sin of the devil. It's the one you never repented of. You've never been a good one. And people around you that you're influenced, such as your wife or your husband, others who go along with this, they don't teach them what to do, what the right thing to do. Then you are misleading others. She's been misled. And so she comes on the scene. And then so Peter answers her. Tell her, he said, now, tell me, Peter is saying, tell me whether you sold land for so much. How much y'all sell that land for? Did you sell land for? And she said, yeah, after so much, she told him how much it was. The Bible doesn't reveal that. Then Peter said unto her, ask her a question. Now, how is it that you have agreed together, you and Ananias did this together, here's what you did, to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried the husband. Now, her eyes got to get real big. She just learned that her husband is dead because they agreed, and y'all know how much you sold it for, and y'all together agreed to tempt God as if he didn't know you sold the land? Samara? I'll tell you what, you see them boys right there? They took your husband to the graveyard, and they're going to take you too. And then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband right next to her. Man, when somebody said, Brother Brooks, this COVID thing is a hoax. Man, when God say you're going to die, it don't have to be COVID. It's death. It's death. When God say death, it's death. And ain't nobody going to come get you. This woman, she had a chance. She could have came clean right there. She said, no, yeah, we sold it. But I tell you, Peter, I know how much it was. And I want to tell you something before you said, I want to tell you that I shouldn't have went along with her. She could confess. She could have repented. She could have asked for forgiveness right there. She had a chance. She didn't. And he said, why y'all agree? He said, God knowing her heart knew she didn't know that I should come clean. And she should have came clean. What was God's purpose for this event? The death of Ananias and Sapphira did something that day. Look at verse 11. I'm getting ready to call it. And I know some of you are so happy this sermon's over. You're going to be so happy it's over. Because you don't want to live with this guilt I put in your mind. You want to ignore this. You're hoping this sermon ends quick. Like, don't talk about this no more because I'm guilty. But that's what it should do to you. But there's one thing that it did to everybody else that was listening that day. And great fear came upon all the church. These people had baptized 3,000, there's another 5,000. These believers were there watching what happened. As many as heard these things, these new Christians, and all those listening got the message that fear came upon all them that heard. Should Christians fear? when they know truth? Yes. Yes. Who we are, what are we to fear? Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Here it comes. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Notice this. Everything you agreed to keep secret, that you signed, you wasn't going to tell nobody, that you didn't give right, you didn't give a portion back, you kept that a secret as if God didn't know. On the day of judgment, you'll be reminded. Because you didn't fear God. See, when you fear God, you don't have to fear them. See, their fear is that what God did. You don't have to fear God, fear death if you're God, because you know the power of God. So God did that day what the Lord did with death. It's what he's doing today with death. When it comes to this COVID-19, people are dying. I just got a call this morning. I just got a text from one group text. A preacher in the Church of Christ just died this morning. COVID-19 got him. Got him. And then folk are calling him a host. Hoax. And death ain't no hoax. Death is God's decision. And when you fear God, you live as if you ain't going to get up in the morning. That's fear. That's respect. That's what he said. You don't respect God enough to give back a portion of what you gave, he gave you. You don't respect him like that. Then you don't fear him. You don't fear him. And that's what the problem was here. And it had the effect God wanted it to have on these Christians. Why? Death can make it. Death has somebody, I was talking to someone yesterday. They were like, where I preach sermon, a funeral sermon. I get a lot of calls to preach funeral sermon because this is what I do. I go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, so it is better to go to the house of mourning than the house of peace. I mean, it's better to go to a funeral than it is to go to a party. But that is the end of all meaning. Death is better than birth, according to Ecclesiastes 7:1. We have birthday party, we have death party. But in the eyes of God, the day of his death is better than the day of his birth. So you can throw your balloons up at birth. But notice this. You say, brother, I ain't old enough. The time a baby comes into the world, we do this. How old is he? He's 1 month. We already started talking about how old as soon as you're born. So age ain't it is not about the number of years. You're old from the birth. You start to grow old. In other words, you start to die. You're going to die old or young. You're going to die. And what he's saying Ecclesiastes is that it's better for people to go to a funeral. Why? That is the end of all men. And the living will live to heart. And some of you on this call, because you know people are dying, you possibly get that COVID, and maybe have that COVID, you thought you made it through, and you don't know what the after effects going to have on this thing. And you're on the call now, and all you do is listen, you don't know, obey God. But because death is on the news, 200,000 in the United States, you know how many people were dying before this came on? They didn't put the numbers on TV. People were dying every day. So what is God doing right now with coronavirus? He's reminding us that this is the end of all men. People are dying all over this world. Millions have died as a result of one disease. They ain't counting the ones from cancer and the ones from heart disease. They're not counting diabetes. They're not counting car wrecks. They're not counting those deaths. They're only counting coronavirus. It's more than that, you all. There's more people dying. But we don't want death. Death don't get your attention, then it will. But in this case, it did with these Christians. Fear came up with all of them. And poor men have heard these things. So I just want to close like this. When we have a lesson like this, and you are honest in your heart, you will get off this phone, and you and your husband, you and your wife will sit down and say, hey, let's look at our hearts. Are we cheerful givers? Do we give grudgingly? Are we going to give now because we just heard a sermon? Because before we hadn't even talked about giving nothing to them. We just put the money back in an investment. We put the money back in account. We bought another house. We bought another car. We didn't give God nothing. You got all those possessions as a result of God blessing you with profit. Now you got to ask yourself, why did I do that? Why did I give cheerfully? And am I going to do it now grudgingly or of necessity? Because God won't love me like that. You say, brother, what did I do? Repent. You say, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry, I haven't done that. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to give it back. I know where my blessings have come from. And the world has stole this from. We're too blessed to be distressed and something like that, they say. As Christians, you all, we're so blessed. We throw away more food. People in foreign countries don't have to eat. We throw it out in the trash. We got men standing around on the corner talking about, give me a donation. They got bellies and fat, overweight, obese. They're eating good on the streets. They keep it eat out of trash can better here in the United States than they do overseas in some of these foreign countries. And you are here, you are blessed with a house, cars, home, money, and then God bless you to get a good commission check and you don't give none of it to him. He gave you to sell a home, you invested in a home, you sold a home, you got the problem, God got none of it. So what am I doing, Brother Bruce? Do what you do about every sin. It's not hard. Go back, say, you know what, I love God. I do love him. I do love him. I love God. I love what he done for me. And that's how you get your mind right. Just put you refocus. Refocus on how much God loved you. And you'll start loving him. He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. Notice what he said in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he grudgingly and of necessity gave. He don't say that. No, I'm just quoting that. He said, for God so loved the world, which includes you, that he gave. God was a giver before you ever were. He gave his only begotten son, the only one. He gave his best. And it was his son who said, there's no greater love than this, that a father would give his child, and that child would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus freely gave his life. He done his own decision. He was in the garden and asked the Father, let the cup of crucifixion pass. He said, let this cup pass. But then he went to a decision, not mine, not your decision, not my will, but yours. And God never responded to him. He let him make his own decision. God, Jesus did his God's will, and he left that garden, and he went straight to the cross. He knew Satan had filled the heart of Judas. Judas kissed him. Jesus didn't hold it against him because he had already made a decision to give himself. He gave himself when he stood before Pilate. He gave himself when Pilate commanded the scourging, the beating. He gave himself when they put the thorn of crowns on his head. He gave himself when they put the tree on his back to carry the cavalry. He gave when he tried to carry, he couldn't. He was given. He gave when he got on Calvary. And they laid him on that tree. He gave his hand to be nailed. He gave his left hand to be nailed, the right hand to be nailed. He gave his feet to be nailed on the cross. He was a giver. He gave his life. He gave 6 hours on the cross suffering. And he told his disciples he would suffer in Jerusalem. Why did he suffer? Because he made a decision in his heart. Satan did not influence him to not die for us. Satan could influence him. He had made his own decision that he would die for us, and even he would die not just any death, my friends. He would die the death of the cross. He died a humiliating, excruciating, painful death. He was a giver. He was a giver. He was a giver. He didn't do it grudgingly. He didn't do it of a necessity, and God loved him because he was a cheerful giver, and that's what he wants from us. This is not hard. It's a decision, and when you can appreciate that God gave and that his son gave, you are not going to give life. None of us will. None of us will. I know I was a little strong there, but sometimes you need to hear me in that pulpit mode. This is a serious situation, and I'm convinced, after looking, being in the church for 36, going on 36 years now, and knowing members who don't give life, who are not giving, and know that they don't give. You see them don't put nothing in place. They take the communion every Sunday, even before we got online giving, and they never gave. You say, brother, you judging me. Well, then I tell you what you do then. You judge yourself. Judge yourself. Because you didn't fool me. Like Papa said, it's not about us. It's not that bad. I'm just telling you the truth as a T.I. is. Hey, if the shoe fit, like the old lady told me, Brother Brooks, walking, so she said, Brother Brooks, the shoe fit well. She said, but mine is showing up tight this morning. She was talking about it. I was getting to her. She wasn't no crazy. She was up in her age. She understood that if the shoe fit, put it on. If you're one of those in this category, that you're not giving up your time, you're not giving up your life, you're one of those commission stealers, profiting people who steal from God and lie to them as if you're in pretense, like some Ananias supply. They thought all the other Christians were looking, so they were pretending to be givers like everybody else. You're just pretending. They didn't get away with nothing. Are you going to get away with it? No. I'm not going to get away with it. You're not going to get away with it. And nobody's going to get away with it. Now, actually, let me close with this question to the people on the call who are not Christians. Why are you not giving your life to God? Why wouldn't you just think about it? Think about it. All God has done for you after giving up his child for you to be obey the gospel. He told us, Mark 16:15-16, Jesus said, go in all over. Preach the gospel. The gospel is the good news. But God, I've given my best. God said, I've given my best. My son has given his life. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what God said. Jesus spoke those words. In Matthew 28:18, he said, go teach all nations and baptize them. So when you're a person who loves God and loving you, and you love his son for giving his life, you say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized. That's what Peter told him, Acts 2:38. They asked him, said, men and brother, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness or for the remission of your sins. You've got to get baptized. If you have not been baptized, here's another thing. You could have been baptized. Remember, some denominational church, they don't preach no truth. You don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You're tithing. We don't tithe. We don't tithe in the New Testament. You're not giving correctly. You think you're doing what's right. You're over there in that denominational church. It ain't in the Bible. You got baptized before, but you're not a member of the Church of Christ. You're not following the Bible. And you say, Brother Brooks, my baptism is no good? Yes, I'm telling you, your baptism was no good. By the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one church. There's only one church you can be baptized in and be saved, and that is the Church of Christ. How you know that, Brother Brooks? Because Paul told him in Romans 16, call it. He said, salute one another, the holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you. What church is in the Bible, the Church of Christ? What is saying that in the Church of Christ? Who said it? It's in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the gates of hell was the grave, and they didn't hold him up. Come early on a Sunday morning, he rose with all power. Now, if you're on this call this morning, you cannot say you didn't know. I guarantee you, if we stand on the other side of judgment, and I'm the preacher that you're standing beside, and God look at me, and he look at you, and he's going to say, you say, well, I didn't know. He's going to say, no, I see that guy standing right by that group. You know you was on that call. It was on November 22nd, 2020, when I was taking people out with the COVID, and you still didn't get baptized. You can listen to this call. You can tell every sermon, Brother Brooks, them people, but you ain't got baptized. You didn't get baptized, and you didn't believe none of what he said. Because you can't listen to me. I don't see how anybody can listen to me preach every Sunday and not get baptized and become a member of the Church of Christ. I just don't see it. Now, I can see some of these other Church of Christ preachers that you can listen to. They're not going to mention the one church. They're not going to call you out like I'm going to call you out. Brother Brooks will call you out. And so you listen to me. I'm one of your preachers. I'm favorite preacher. You love to hear me. But you didn't obey the gospel. It's not me. You just getting on for the fun of it. If you're listening, then you will be baptized, and you will be calling me, Brother Brooks, can you make arrangements to get me baptized? I've been listening to your message. I believe the word of God. I want to be baptized. I want to become a member of the one true church, which is the Church of Christ, the one you've been preaching about. I want to be washed in that blood like you told us. It was in Revelation 1:5. I want to be saved. I want to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. I want to call myself a Christian. I don't want to call myself a Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, nothing else. I just want to be a Christian. I want to be a member of the Church of Christ. Can you baptize me? I would say, yes, it's about time for you to listen. You've been listening long enough, haven't you? But you're not going to do it. You know why? You want to know why people won't do it? They don't love God. They don't love God. They don't appreciate what he done. They're not going to give their life, and they certainly ain't going to give none of their money. Well, that's this lesson. Ananias was to fire his wife. Boy, they were in trouble. How many of you all letting your wives or husbands influence you with these bad decisions going along with all this wrong that's going on in this world? You're going along with it. I appeal to you to take heed to this lesson. If you're on the call this morning, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. I'll talk to you directly. You've heard the gospel. The Bible says in Acts 15 and verse 7, you hear the word of the gospel and believe. That's the first two steps. Step three, Luke 13, 3, Jesus said, I'll tell your name, but except you repent, except you don't change, you will also perish. That's what he's talking about. And step four, you got to confess with your mouth, with your heart's been made to believe, Romans 10, 9, and 10. Not only that, you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8 and verse 37. You have to confess that before men, Matthew 10 and verse 32, 33. And after you confess before men, then you must be baptized, buried with Christ in baptism, Romans 6, 3 and the following verses. You got to be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. Baptism does say, 1 Peter 3 and the verses number 21. And then after you baptize, after you become a Christian, you ought to live faithful unto death. In other words, be a faithful giver of your life and everything else. You give to the Lord, you obey the Lord, you live for the Lord, you follow the scripture. When you sin, you ask for forgiveness, you get up and you try again. That's a simple process for Christians to be saved. You know, nobody's perfect, but you got to be trying. Are you on the call this morning and you need to make confession? I want you to do this. If you're on the call and you're a Christian, we don't care what your confession is about. And don't let this stop you from making faith up. You go, he must not be getting right. Don't worry about what people don't think. Know why you're making your confession, that you're confessing your sin, whatever it is. Don't have to be this particular one I'm talking about this morning, but it can be any sin. For Christians, it's required that we confess our faults one to another. And we confess our sin. First John chapter 1, we confess our sin. God said, I'm just to forgive you. All you got to do is ask me to forgive you. And, you know, all of us are supposed to pray for you. So that's to the Christians, those who are members of the Church of Christ. Then those who are visitors, I want you to hit 5-star. And you just say, hey, I want to be baptized. Brother Brooks, I'm ready to make that confession. If you want to make that confession, I'll let you make that confession right here on this call. And I got hundreds of people listening. It's a large call this morning. Hundreds of people, which is a good thing. You better confess confess that today. I ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we will get you to the Church of Christ closer to you. It don't have to be Hollow Heights. The closest one, if you're in Mexico, New York, I don't care where you are, we'll get the Church of Christ close to you to baptize you today. I guarantee you I can make it happen. But let me just change that. God will make it happen. I believe he'll provide. That's for those who are so truly seeking to be true worshipers. Not everybody won't obey the truth. Don't y'all know that? You can't be fretting over that. Not everybody will obey. I don't care if it's your mama, daddy, sister, brother, husband, or wife. Not everybody's going to obey. Only those who love God enough. But there are too many of us who love money more than we do God. And that's the root of all your evil.